Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Gimel. We're learning tonight, Li'ilu Nishmas, Sylvia Rosenbaum, Sora Techna, Basmeira Cohen. All the Neshamas we learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin the Gemara 7 lines from the top, Nun Gimel Omid Aleph, with the following brisa. Yesterday's shiur was discussing the idea that you have a period of time that you have to do the biur, the getting rid of your Shemitah produce, so this brisa expands further. Tana Rabban, we learn the brisa. Ochlin bo'anovim, a person is allowed to eat grapes, ad sheyichlu doliyos shel ochel, until all the grapes are done in a place called Ochel. That's the girsa that we have. Rashi says, Mokum Kromim, a well-known place for vineyards. And Rashi says, V'is the garse shel Evel. Others have it that this name should have been not Ochel, but Evel. V'hu Evel Kromim, a well-known place as well. And this place, either Ochel Kromim or Evel Kromim, was the last place, usually in that region. We discussed yesterday the different regions of Eretz Yisrael, and as long as there are grapes still present in a region, so then you can eat in that entire region. It's not yet considered the Zman Bir. However, the Braisa then says, Im yesh mucharos behen, that was the normal likelihood that they would be the last ones, but if there happened to be other places within that region that had still grapes on their vines, so Oakland Aleim, so then you can rely upon them. It's not a din that this is the last place, it just was pretty much the usual scenario, that would be the last place where grapes would be found. And therefore, if you were to find in a different place that there are grapes still around, you can keep on eating in that region until the last place that has grapes has finished them. Then you have the beer. Likewise, Ochlin Bezesim Achshich LeAchur SheBeTekoa. Tekoa was a well-known place for olives, and that usually was the last place that olives would be present. So as long as there were olives at Tekoa, every place in that region could still have olives. It wasn't yet this amount of beer. He said that no, it's more likely that the last olives will be in a place called Gush Chalav. And as long as they're there, then you can still eat olives throughout the entire area. And in that place, Kideshia Oni Yotze, Veino Motze, Lo Binofo, Velo Bikara Rova. So as long as in that place, or in any place, you still had olives present, so much so even with only a little bit of olives left, that a poor person would be able to get them and take them, then you can still eat olives. However, if it gets so wiped out that you don't have olives, that even a poor person would be able to take from either the branches or from the roots, at least the rova kav, so then it's considered the zman bior, and you can't have olives anymore in that region. Finally, the Braisa says, Ochlin bagrogros, what about dry figs? So you're allowed to still eat dried figs as long as they haven't been totally gotten rid of from the place, ad sheyichlu pagei beis hini, until these dried figs, these pagim, were no longer present in a place called Beis Hini. That was usually the last place where you'd find such figs. Now, on this last part of the brisa with the dried figs, with the grogros, on Rav Yehuda said, Lo huskru pagi Beis Hini, you're making a mistake. The din of the pagi Beis Hini was not said in regard to Shemitah, ella le'inyan meiser. It was only said in regards to meiser. Where do we find that? Now, the girsa that we have is ditnan. But on the side it says, to erase that, it should be not gores the word ditnan, it says on the side, because you don't find this not even as a brisa. It shouldn't even be the tanya. It's not even in the tosefta, and therefore it's just a statement that was made, and the statement therefore shouldn't be ditnan. It should just be the omar or the itmar, or just saying pagi beis hini vahini the tovinya, that the dried figs, these grogros, they came from beis hini, or the dried figs, the ahini, they came from tovinya. Rashi explains that both of these places had these figs that were not very mature. They didn't grow very large. Osun tmarim olam ketanim, they stayed very, very small. And the questions you might have raised was that they're not considered significant enough to be chayav in trumos and maisers. So the statement was made that they are chayav in b'maiser. But that's all that it was. It was just about maiser. It had nothing to do with making any decision about are there still dried figs left that you can rely upon them in terms of the din of Shemitah. Now we quote the brisa that we had in yesterday's shir. It said, Ochlin b'tmarim, you're still allowed to eat to tmarim, the dates, as long as there still are tmarim present in certain places. So Achyichle Achum Shibitzor. Tzor was usually the last place that had no more of these dates. That was a very common place that they had still dates around when all the other places were getting depleted. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ochlin Acho Beis Hakipin, he said, no, even as long as you have just in the trees, then it's still considered that there still are dates around, but if they're only on the bein hashitzin, so then you can't go and eat them. We said those were those thorny projections at the bottom that the animals couldn't easily get through, and therefore if there were dates only over there, it's considered already as if they're gone, if they're kolu. Now, the Gemara questions this and said, we have another braisa that seems to disagree with this. Or mini, we learn in another braisa, it says, beferish, ochlin ba novim ad Pesach. Here, instead of going by the name of the place, it goes by the calendar. It says you can eat grapes up until Pesach time. Bezeisim, you can eat olives, ad ho'atzeres, until Shuas time. Again, we always mention, atzeres means Shuas, has nothing to do with shmini atzeres. The grogros with the dried figs, allowed to eat them ad Hanukkah, until Hanukkah time. And the betzmarim with the dates, you can eat them ad Purim, until Purim time. And the last two, Chanukah Purim, the dates versus the dried figs, some switch it around. But Rav Yochanan Tarti Basraisa Machlif, we switch them around. Instead of saying the grogros is until Chanukah, it's the tomorrow until Chanukah. And instead of saying the tomorrow until Purim, it's the grogros until Purim. But the bottom line is, here we're given a calendar time as opposed to previously we said go look in those places. So what's going on? It seems to be a steer between these two braises. Gemara says, no, in fact, they're the same exact thing. Idi v'idi chachiru. They're really both talking about the same din, because one is giving it in terms of time, and one is giving it in terms of place. So, for example, the anovim are gone at Pesach time, and the zeisim are gone by Atzeres, and if you go and look in those places that we described in the braisa, where you should look, so that's exactly when they would be gone. So the two braises are saying the identical thing. Just one is giving it in terms of the time in the calendar year when they'll be gone, and the other one's telling us the place. When you don't find it there, mistama, they're gone. But that's the same as the calendar. That's teretz number one. The Yibai saying, well, if you want to give another teretz, no. The first brais that we had said that Ha'katani behedjit, said b'feirishim yeshmu choros behen, that these are the general rules. You'll find it here, and that's the last place. But if you find something that's later than that, ochlin alein, you can rely upon it. So to over here, these are the typical places where you'll have it. But if you find something later, you're allowed to. So the braisa that we just brought down that said you can eat till Pesach, till Shavuos, Chanukah, Purim, so that's the typical thing. But if you happen to find something later, gesundheit, you can rely upon it, even though that's the typical answer. So the two braisas, again, aren't a steer to each other. Gemara says, Tanya, we'll learn another braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Shimon Gamliel says, Simon Lehorim Milin, that the mountains are a certain simon, there are certain idea here that can be seen in the mountains in regards to trees. Simin laharin milin. The milin, Rashi tells us, are a certain type of tree that produces the gallnuts, afotsim. So these trees grow very well in the mountains, as we'll see in the Gemara, as opposed to other trees that usually don't grow so well in the mountains. And likewise, simin lamakim, if you want to know what grows well in the amakim, in the valleys, the kolim, they grow there, as opposed to other trees that don't grow well in the amakim, because there's a lot of water over there. So the kolim grow well there, and the gallnuts grow well in the mountains, and the vice versa is not true in terms of other trees don't grow well in the mountains other than the gallnuts, and other trees don't grow well in the valleys other than the kolim. Likewise, simin al kolim kodim. The areas where we have nachal, which are usually considered streams, or maybe wadi-like areas, what grows well over there are kodim, or reeds. And finally, simin la-shvela, for the plains, that's shikamore. The shikamore tree grows very well over there. Now, the shikamore tree happens not to bear fruits, Rashi tells us. The alpha pish ein ra'el adover. Now, the last part that says the sycamore tree grows well in the plains, in the shvela. So I have a raya, but it's not a perfect raya. I have a suggestion from a pasuk. Alpha pish ein raya, it's not a definitive raya. However, Zech l'dover, we do have like an asmachta, we have an allusion to it from the pasuk. Shneamar says in the pasuk, "Vayitena melech es hakesev Yerushalayim kavonim." Shlomo HaMelech made things so good for the Jewish people from an economic point of view that silver was not more valuable than stones. They had so much silver, so he made the kesev to be just like avonim. The Esar Rosim and the cedar trees, Nosak Yishikvim, he made them into something that was as common as the sycamore trees, Asher b'shvela l'rov, which were plentiful in the shvela. So it's not a perfect raya that they only grow there or that they're significant for the shvela, but you see that certainly the sycamore tree grows well in the shvela in the plains. Now, what does this exactly mean? I alluded to it already, but here's what the Gemara tells it to us. Simin laharim milim. In the mountains, these gallnut trees grow well, and in the valleys, simin lamakim dekolim, the palm trees grow well. Now, what's the nafkamina for this? Gemara says, nafkamina lebikurim, in regards to bikurim. Now, Rashi points out, there is a famous Gzeirah Shava teaching us here the dinim of bikurim and how they're related to the location. Now we go to Rashi. It's the very last of the thin lines where Rashi says, "V'bikurim ksiv." In the Bikurim it says, "Asher tovi mi artzucha." And we darshan out the Gemara in Menachos, the Rashiim in Menachos, "Nemar kan artzucha." It says in regards to Bikurim artzucha, "V'nemar lahalan eretz chita sor v'gomer." It tells us about the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. It uses the terminology eretz. So mal lahalan shevach eretz, doha b'shvacha kosud midaber. So by the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, that's a Shevach of Eretz Yisrael. So too, in regards to the Bikurim, Avkan Shevach Eretz. You only bring it from that, then it's called Shevach Eretz. V'afino minot, and therefore we learn, the Ein Mevin Ela Mishiva Saminim. Therefore, the din of Bikurim is only from the Shiva Saminim, that I stated earlier, Eretz Chita Sora, etc. The Ein Mevin Ela Mimalko Mishubach, and you only bring it from the places that are especially good for growing that type of those seven species. Utumarim Mishiva Saminim, and Tamarim, the dates, are one of the Shiva Saminim, because it says Devash, and Devash means Devash tomorrow. So now that we have this Gzei Rishava connecting them, we can understand the Nafkamina. Nafkamina le Bikurim did not, because we learned in the Mishnah in Bikurim, Ein Mevi in Bikurim, Elam Shiva Saminim. This is Gzei Rishava, that we only bring Bikurim from those seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And Velo Mi Dekolim Shibaharim. And even when you're bringing from the Dekolim, which are from the Shiva Saminim, you only bring them from the best areas, as opposed to, we learned that only the gallnut trees grow well in the mountains, implying that the Dekolim don't grow well in the mountains, they grew well in the Amakim. And therefore, you only bring from the Dekolim that grow in the valley, and not from the Dekolim that grow in the mountains. And likewise, Velo Mi Perish of Amakim. And the other trees, we said, only the Dekolim grow well in the valleys, so therefore, only that tree from the valleys can be brought Bikurim, as opposed to the other trees, you have to find them from other places, not in the mountains and not in the valleys, in order to bring Bikurim. Then the Gemara said, Simin l'necholim kodim. The Braisa said that in regards to the necholim, in regards to what we'll call the wadis, or the streams, so that's very good for kodim, for reeds. So nafkamina l'nachal eson. So when you see these reeds growing, it satisfies the definition of nachal eson, which is a requirement to do the eglo arufa process, rachmana litzlan, when somebody was found dead, so they had to measure out to the closest city, and that city had to then bring the eglo arufa and stay there. Yodenu, in our hands, this death didn't occur. We escorted the person, we gave them food, etc., and therefore we're not held accountable for this death. And then you go and do the eglo arufa process in a nachal. So how do you define a nachal? That's a place where the konim grow. And finally, the last statement in the Braisa, Simin l'shvelo shikama, we said that the shvelo, the plains, so that is a place where the sycamore tree grows very, very well. So Gemara says, nafkamina l'mekko chamemkar. The purpose of that is if you're selling a person a field in the plains, so it should be something that sycamore can grow in order to fulfill that this person bought a plains field. Otherwise, he could taina, hey, it's not really a plains if sycamore doesn't grow there. Now the Gemara says, now that you tell me this, this answer that we gave for the shikamore, for the shvela, could apply to all the others as well. How do you know that you're dealing with an appropriate area to have gallnuts, or to have palm trees, or to have reeds? So it all depends. That's for mekach u'mekach purposes, so therefore those could be answers for the other first three parts of the brisa as well. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Mara tells us, again, this parak is Malkum Shinagu, so we're going to now discuss another minhag, sometimes yes, sometimes no. So the Mishnah tells us, Malkum Shinagu Limkor Behema Daka L'Nochrim, in a place where they used to have the custom to sell a small animal, Behema Daka are like the goats and the sheep family, the Behema Gas are the larger animals, so there'll be the cows from the kosher animals and horses and donkeys from the non-kosher animals. So Malkum Shinagu Limkor Behema Daka L'Nochrim, in a place where they held that it's allowed to go and sell a Behema Daka, a smaller animal, to the non-Jewish people. So Malkum, you're allowed to sell them. However, Malkum Shalo Nagu Limkar, in a place where they didn't have the custom to go and sell it, or on the side the gear says Malkum Shalagu Shalo Limkar, put it in a more positive way, that they specifically said they were not going to sell them to the non-Jewish people. So then, Ein Malkum, you're not allowed to go and sell them. Now, Ubuchal Malkum, wherever you're doing this, Ein Malkum Len Behem Agasa. The whole reason why you can't sell a Behem Adaka was because there was a concern in some places, if you sell them a Behem Adaka, you'll sell them a Behem Agasa. And other places had that concern. Some places didn't have that concern. But the whole concern was based upon the Behema Gasa. And every place, that's not a minhag, is a Dinder Rabbanan, Ein Mochel Mehem Behema Gasa. Now let me go sell them a Behema Gasa. Why not? So Rashi brings down, this is a Gzeira. Gozru Behema Rabbanan, Mishum She'ela, Mishum Schirus. Because if you sell your animal to the non-Jewish person, there's no problem with the non-Jewish person working that animal on Shabbos. You no longer own it. But if you were to lend it or rent it to a non-Jewish person, he also is not allowed to work the animal on Shabbos because it's the Jew's animal. And we have an obligation to have Shvisas Behemto on Shabbos. A non-Jewish person doesn't have any such obligation. He's allowed to work on Shabbos. His animal is allowed to work on Shabbos. Only a Jewish person or an animal that's owned by a Jew has this Isser. So if we allow you to sell it to a non-Jewish person, you may come to lend it to him or to rent it to him. And in that situation, there would be a problem of the animal working on Shabbos. So therefore, the rabbis made gzeira, don't go and sell your behemah gasa, because it may lead then to renting or lending, which would be a problem. Likewise, umishum nisyoni. If the animal were to be sold to a non-Jewish person, it might be right before Erev Shabbos, and the animal would be carrying something on his back. And that would be considered that the Jew is causing the animal to work on Shabbos by carrying. And therefore, we have a mitzvah, Shvisas Behemto, and because of these reasons, the rabbi says, don't sell large animals to a non-Jewish person. Now, what's included in the Behemah Gasa? So the Mishnah continues and says, Agolim Musiochim are also included. Even the babies, which can't really do work, so there's no concern that we just said for the Gzeira. Nevertheless, even the small calves and the small donkey animals or horse animals, the siyochin, so you're also not allowed to go and sell them to the non-Jewish person, even though the concern doesn't apply. But the concern is that if you allow them to sell the baby animals, they'll sell the adult animals as well. So they made a rule across the board. Don't sell them any of such animals. Likewise, shleimin or shvurim. Whether they're able to do work because they're shleimin or they're not, they're shvurim. They have a broken leg, so they can't carry anything. There is no concern that they'll do work on Shabbos. Nevertheless, because if you sell them shvurim, you may sell them shleimin, the rabbi said across the board. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Review the Mati Bishvura. Review this says, no, there's no concern by a Shvura. The animal has a broken leg. The animal can't work, so therefore there is no concern. So Review allows a broken animal to be sold to a non-Jewish person. Likewise, then Bisera Mati Besus. Then Bisera says, a sus can always be sold to them, because there is no Issa Daraisa in regards to a sus. So worse comes to worse. If you were to end up renting or lending a horse to a non-Jewish person, even if the non-Jewish person rode the horse and worked the horse on Shabbos, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan for a Yid, and therefore they can't become a Takalo via Shvisas Behemto Daraisa, because there's technically on a Daraisa level no Issa in riding the animal. The concern that the rabbi said, well, we don't allow you to ride a horse on Shabbos because you may come to pull off a branch, which would be Issa Daraisa. But the actual riding of the horse, they didn't use horses for other types of Malacha. So the actual act of riding a horse is not an Issa Daraisa. So therefore, Ben Becerra permitted it. Finally, the Mishnah concludes. Now, I should mention that this first part of the Mishnah is not going to be discussed here in the Gemara at all, because as you can see on the side, this is also a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah on Daf Yudalit, and that is the place where this is discussed, since Ar Masechet Pesachim really doesn't deal with that, so it's not discussed over here, and it's discussed in greater detail in Avodah Zarah. So we're not going to actually discuss this part of the Mishnah, which is strange, because there's a tremendous amount to discuss here, as there is in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So now we go to the part that our Gemara will discuss, which is the second part of the Mishnah, which is Malkum Shnagu Lechol Tzli B'Lel Pesachim Ochlin. There were different customs nowadays as well as to whether or not you can go and eat roast on Pesach night, at the night of the Seder. So there were places that had a minhag to eat roast. Ochlin, they're allowed to eat it because there's technically no Isser in eating roast. You're not allowed to have a carbon Pesach outside Yerushalayim, but you could eat roasted meat outside Yerushalayim on Pesach night. So those places that didn't make any additional restrictions, so they could eat roast. Ochlin. However, Markum Shinogish Lolechol, there were places that said, don't eat any roasted meat, some have even roasted chicken or any roasted item, because it could be confused that Chas Hashem, you're eating the Karban Pesach, so they made Gzeira across the board. So those places that made such a custom, Malkum Shinogu Shlo Lecho, ain't Oakland, so that they shouldn't eat roast on the night of the Seder, which is the very common accepted custom in Klal Yisrael. Now, Amar Yudam Rav tells us, also Lili Odom Shomar Bosazel Pesachu, a person should not say that this meat that I'm eating here is going to be for Pesach. Now, he doesn't mean for carbon Pesach. He just says, this is my meat order. And one shouldn't say this. Why? Mipnei shenira kimakdish behemto. It looks like you're making this behema into a hekdish. You're making it into a carbon Pesach. And therefore, when you eat it, v'ochel kachim b'chutz, you're eating kachim outside Yerushalayim. Along comes Rapapa, and he says, I'm Rapapa, tafka basa. This is only talking about meat. But Avochiti, something that couldn't be a carbon Pesach, like wheat, Avochiti, if a person says, this is for Pesach, this is my matzah order for Pesach, this wheat, so then the minta lepiskla, he's saving it and watching it for his matzahs on Pesach, come on, that you're allowed to do, that's not a problem. Now that's where Rav Papa said that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav meant that it's only talking about basar. Gemara says, really? Ubasar lo? Is this true that you're not allowed to say, this is my meat for Pesach? The way Rav Papa explained that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says it's only talking about meat. Is that true? A person can't say this meat is for Pesach? But I'll show you from the following Braisa that that's not true. Basically, it says in the Braisa, Amar Rav Yossi says, now the Girsa that we have, the first version will be Amar Rav Yossi. The Gemara will ask in a moment, well, we have the Girsa that it's Rabbi Shimon. We'll see in a moment what that's talking about. Just keep in mind, because we'll be on the Amud Beis when we ask this question. It's a little hard to look back. So here we're saying that this is Rav Yossi staying in the Braisa. The Braisa states, Amar Rav Yossi, Todus Yishromi. Todus was a very famous person. Rashi says he was an Odom Choshev. We'll have a whole discussion about who he was on the Amud Beis, so we'll wait to discuss it more over there. So Todus, who came from Rome, he said, Hinnig is Bnei Romi. He established a custom in Rome, amongst the Roman people, the Jewish Roman people, Lechol Gidoyim Mikulosim B'Leli Psochem, that they bedavka had the custom to eat the Karban Pesach, which was called a Gidi Mikulos. It was made in a certain way. Rashi explains, they would be tsluyin rosho al kirov. They would go and roast it with the head and the limbs, just the way they did the Karban Pesach. And in this way, it was just like the Karban Pesach. And it was called Mekulis, Rashi says, Lefisha Tolik Krov Chutz Lo Betzido, that the insides were taken out around the body, making it like a helmet, which is Mekulis. Targuma Kulsa the Nechosha. In any event, this was like the Nechoshis of Goyas, that he wore it as a helmet. So they cooked the Karban Pesach in this certain way, and he Bedavka said, let's do like it was in the Beis HaMikdash, to remind ourselves that we don't have the Karban Pesach nowadays, this isn't the Karban Pesach, but we should remind ourselves what it was like. So as opposed to our custom where we don't have roasted meat, so people shouldn't think it's a Karban Pesach, he Bedavka made something that looked exactly like the Karban Pesach, but he didn't say it was the Karban Pesach. So here you see that Rav Yossi said that in Rome, they did this, and they made it look just like the Karban Pesach. And that's what Todus Yishromi did. And Rav Yossi said, Shochel, the rabbis were not happy about this. And they said, oh, Yamole Todus Ata, if you weren't the great Todus, Odom Choshev, Rashi says, Gazanro Lechonidu, we would put you in Cherem. Why? Shata Meichel is Yisrael, Koshev B'chutz, because you're making Klai Yisrael eat Koshev B'chutz. Now the Gemara says, Koshev Soka Daitach? Was he really making it eat Koshev? He never said it was the Karban Pesach. He said, do this in remembrance of the Karban Pesach. But he didn't say it was a Karban Pesach. He says, yeah, Taka, you're right. Ela Eimor, what he meant to say in the Braisa is as follows. We turn to the Amud Beis. Korov lahachas yol kachim achutz. Because it looks like you're making them eat kachim outside of Yerushalayim, outside of Eretz Yisrael, because they're eating what looks like the Karban Pesach. Not that they're really reading the Karban Pesach, but it just looks too much like it. Now, what do we see from here? Mekulos in it, only if it was roasted in looking the exact way that the Karban Pesach looked. She'ein mekulos, but if you just ate roasted meat, not in the way the Karban Pesach was cooked, lo, that's not a problem at all. So Kasha, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, you said you can't have any roasted meat. From this statement that Rav Yossi said against Todus Yishromi, it seems that you can't do this except if it's roasted like the Karban Pesach. But regular roasted meat is not a problem. Now, as an aside, before we get to the answer, we said that Rav Yossi told him, oh, if you weren't Todus Yishromi, then we would have put you in Cherem. So why the fact that he's an Odom Choshev, should we not put him in Cherem? If he did something wrong, so then he should in fact be in Cherem also. So the Shar Mitzvah and Balach gives a beautiful terrace. He brings out from several sources that the whole idea of Cherem was originally for people that were Amaratzim and people that weren't important, people that weren't Choshev people. And therefore, what Rav Yossi said to Todus Yishromi was, if you aren't an important person, if you were an Amaretz, we would have put you in Cherem. But since you're an important person, Cherem wasn't created for you. So that's why we're not putting you in Cherem. But what you're doing is wrong. So that's how the Shor Mitzvah Mahalach explains it. In any event, here's our kasha, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, you said that you're not allowed to have any roast, but it seems from this remark that Rav Yossi said to Todus Yishromi that it's only Mekulis, only it's like the Karban Pesach you can't have it, but regular roast you can have. So Gemara says, no. Review them, Rav is correct. Amre, Mekulos, if you make it like the Karban Pesach, Loshno Amar, Loshno Lomar, then whether you say this is for Pesach or you don't say this is for Pesach, you can't do that. However, if it's she'eino mekulis, but if it's not roasted like the Korban Pesach, but it's just roasted, so then if you say this is for my Pesach meat, so then it could be mistaken to be like the Korban Pesach. So pirush in, then we're not allowed to. However, lo pirush, but if you don't say anything, so then Rav Yehuda Marab didn't prohibit you from having roasted meat. He prohibited you from saying, this meat is for Pesach. That you shouldn't do. Now, if you want to know the halacha l'maisa, there's a very short little simen in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach, in simen Tof Samach Tes, which deals with this whole thing, that halacha l'maisa, when you're making your placing your Pesach order, you shouldn't call up the butcher, you shouldn't call up the grocery store, and say, this is my Pesach order, I'd like to order the following meat for Pesach. You shouldn't say that, because technically it could be mistaken that you're making it into your Korban Pesach. And if anybody wants to hear a share on this, I'll give a chance to put in a plug for my Mishnah Berurah Yomi. I give a daily Mishnah Berurah Yomi share. It's actually 5 days a week, 2 days supposed to do Chazara. And you can find this on OU Torah, and you can go look up this page, which would be in the Mishnah Berurah, in the fifth Chelek. It's on Daf, by the pagination of the Mishnah Berurah, it's Daf Ayin Ches Omud Aleph. Again, it's Simen Tof Samach Zayin. But if you're looking it up in the Mishnah Berurah on my Shiurim in OU Torah, you look for MB578A. That's the fifth chelik of Mishnah Berurah, and it's Simen Ayin Ches Omud Aleph. Enjoy. Now we go weiter. The Gemara says, Rav Acha Masni Lo Lohom Masnitzo Ki Rabbi Shimon. I told you before that Brisa that we brought down was the name of Yossi, but Rav Acha, he learned the Brisa as it was Rabbi Shimon telling Todus Yishromi, you shouldn't do this. If you weren't for Todus Yishromi, you'd be in a lot of trouble. So Gemara says, Maskevel Rav Sheshes asked Rav Acha, what are you doing by saying that this is Rabbi Shimon and not Rav Yossi? Bishlomo Lamanda Tani Lurk Rav Yossi, according to the first version that we had that it was Rav Yossi saying the Brisa, everything works out very well. Nicha, because we have elsewhere that Rav Yossi holds that if a person says something, so then whatever he said is considered as if it was enacted as a vow, and therefore you have to follow through. So therefore, when the person says that this is for my Pesach, so you shouldn't do this because it looks like you're making the Korban Pesach. And this is seen from Gemara Menachos, Rashi points out, where it talks about when a person makes a mincha donation. You're giving a voluntary mincha offering, and mincha offerings that are voluntary can only come from wheat. They can't come from barley. The Korban Omer that we bring on Pesach comes from barley, and a sota's mincha comes from barley, but a voluntary mincha can never come from barley. So therefore, it says in Menachos that if a person made a mistake and he said, I want to give a voluntary Korban Mincha from barley, so then the first part that I want to give a voluntary Korban Mincha, that was fine, but then when he said it's from barley, so that's not fine. But Rav Yossi said that even though the person said something that's incorrect, but you're still not allowed to do it. So therefore, when the person said, I want to bring a voluntary Korban Mincha, so Tofus Loshen Rishon, he kicks in, and therefore, it's as if he obligated himself to bring a Korban Mincha. So therefore, we can understand why Rav Yossi, Nicha, it works out very well that he told us, listen, when you're saying to go bring a Gidi Mekulas, it looks like you're bringing the Korban Pesach. But according to Rabbi Shimon argues in the Gemara Menachos with Rav Yossi, and he says, no, we don't go by the first Lashon, and if a person does something that changes around the first Lashon, in other words, he said, I want to bring a voluntary Korban Mincha, but then he says from barley, so that negates his first statement, and therefore, you're not chayiv. So therefore, Eleman Damas, thank you, Rabbi Shimon, according to your version, Rav Acha did say that it should be that Rabbi Shimon was the author of that Brisa. Mi nicha, it doesn't work out well, but nan, Rabbi Shimon Poter, in that Mishnah Menachos, Rabbi Shimon says that in fact you're not obligated to bring a Korban Mincha because you changed it around and said from barley. Shalo isnadim, kiderach anisnadim, and you didn't do it the way you're supposed to, which is to bring it from wheat. So how can you tell me that this is Rabbi Shimon? So Gemara says, Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Ravina explains, and he says as follows, Uman demasi look Rabbi Yossi, and according to you, that the answer is according to Rabbi Yossi, that was no problem. You said, Nicha? Me Nicha. Who says that that's good? V'amar Rava, Rava said, Rabbi Shimon, Bishitas Rav Yossi Yamora. Rabbi Shimon, who said that you're exempt from bringing this offering that you dedicated by saying you're going to bring a Korban Mincha from barley, you're exempt. That's because he holds like Rav Yossi. And he holds the Omer, Af B'gemar Dvarav Odu Nitvas. He says that a person is not only held accountable for his first statement, he's held accountable for his second statement. And since the second statement was that I'm going to bring it from barley, that's not possible. So now, just like my lab, the Rabbi Shimon, several like Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, Mistama, Rabbi Yossi, Nami, several like Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, it also shouldn't be good. So, why are you telling me it's only a problem for Rabbi Shimon? It's a problem for Rabbi Yossi as well. So, the Gemara gives the obvious terror. It's low. Who says? Who says they each hold like each other? Nu, Rabbi Shimon, several like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, that you held by Tofus Lashon Akron. So, therefore, that's why he doesn't have to bring it. However, who says that Rabbi Yossi holds like him? Velo Rabbi Yossi, several like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon, that says if you didn't do it, Kedera Chaminis Nadvim, it's no good. So, therefore, Rabbi Yossi could, in fact, say that Todus Yishromi was wrong. Now, the Gemara says, Yibaylu, they asked the following Shaila in the base Medrash. Todos Yishromi Gavarababa, was Todos Yishromi a great person? In other words, a positive statement that he was a great person, like Rashi said, Adam Choshev, or did it mean Obal Egrofin Hava? An Egrof is a fist. In other words, he was a tough guy. He'll break your kneecaps if you don't follow him. And therefore, he says, if it wasn't for the fact that you're Todos Yishromi, because I'm terrified of you, then I would put you in Chayrim. So was Todos Yishromi a great person, or just a tough person that you don't want to start up with? So Gemara will show us that Todos Yishromi is really a great person. Toshma, it says, Odzu Dorash Todos Yishromi, another famous statement that Todos Yishromi said. And now this is so interesting because it's this week's parasha. We always have so many inferences from the Daf Yomi in the parasha of the week. So Todos Yishromi said the following drasha. Ma ra'u Hanani Mishol v'Azariah, the great three Nevi'im, Hanani Mishol and Azariah, who were thrown into the Kivshon Eish by Nebuchadnezzar. What did they see? That they went into the Kivshon Eish and didn't run away. Tosa says the Re brings down that they should have run away like Daniel did. Or others explain that it wasn't really an Avodah Zarah over here, so why did they Moser Nefesh to go and let themselves be thrown into the fire? Why did they bow down to this, what Tosa says is an Andarta? It was like a bust, but it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah. Rashi explains that it was a Avodah Zarah, but Lav Dafka. So it means that why did they, Maru, Hanani, Mishol, and Zariah, what did Hanani, Mishol, and Zariah see that they were willing to be Moser Nefesh when they didn't have to be? Shemasu Asman al Kedushas Hashem, Likiv Shana Eish. That they were willing to let themselves be thrown into the fire to make a Kiddush Hashem. So they did the following Kal V'chomer from the Tzvadei in this week's Parsha, the second Makkah in Mitzrayim. Nasu Kal V'chomer v'yatzim Mitzvardoyim. They made a Kal V'chomer for the Tzvadeiya. What had happened there? By the Tzvadei, it says, Umat Tzvadeiim, Shein Mitzuvin al Kiddush Hashem. The Tzvadeiya doesn't have to do Kiddush Hashem. they're not creatures that have a Bechiru Chavshi, that they have mitzvahs to do. So the Tzvadeiya, which doesn't have a mitzvah, nevertheless, Ksibu, it says about them, that they jumped into the ovens. V'olu, uvo, beveisecha, v'gomer, v'sanurecha, v'sharusecha. They went into all of these different places, including the hot ovens. Now, emosai, misharos, mitzuyos, etzel taner, when are these bowls, misharos are bowls, next to the ovens? You only take it out of the oven and, or put it into the oven for the bowl if you need the dough, only when it's hot. Have you omer b'shorsha tanur cham? So they're going into tanurecha misharusecha. It's not when the tanur is cold, but it's when it's with misharusecha, when they just needed it, so they heated up the oven to bake the bread. So they went into these hot ovens. So the Tzvadeiya jumped willingly into the hot ovens. So Anu, Hanani Mishol and Azariah said, if the Tzvadeiya were willing to go, I mean, Mekadei Shem Shemayim, by jumping into the hot ovens, they weren't concerned about losing their lives, so to us. Anu Shemetzuvah Kiddush Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. We are mechuyev to make a Kiddush Hashem, so al achas kama v'kama, how can we not go and throw ourselves into the Kivshon Eish? Again, Rashi says, they should have said v'chai behem. We should be allowed to bow down over here and not get ourselves thrown into Kivshon Eish. And that's what Tosfos brings down. Maru shelo darshu v'chai behem. V'lo shiyomus behem, but he says, even if it is normally a situation where it could be b'chai behem, but if it's in public, so then you're not allowed to. You have to be willing to give up your life. That's why Tosus gave the other explanations, that it wasn't really Avodah Zarah. It was an andarto. It was like a bust or an idol, and it wasn't real Avodah Zarah. And that's why the reset, the question is, why didn't they run away like Daniel ran away? In any event, this was the Kal V'chomer that Hanani Mishol Azariah did, as was explained by Todos Yishromi. So you see that he was a Gavur Rabba. He was a great person. He taught us this beautiful medrash. Furthermore, Rav Yossi Bar Ravin Amar, another great thing about Todos, Yishromi was taught by Rav Yossi Bar Ravin, and he said, Matil Milay Lekishol Tamidei Chachamim Haya, that he used to go and put merchandise into the pockets of these Tamidei Chachamim. Rashi explains that no stain schor le Tamidei Chachamim listakerba. He used to give them merchandise for free, and this way, he says, you could go do business. So they felt they were self-supporting. It was a great stalker to help somebody with a job. So he gave them merchandise, which they could then sell, and this was a tremendous stalker. And Amar Rav Yochanan said, "Kolamatu milay il kis tamid chacham." Anybody that supports a Talmud Chacham by giving them business to do about such a person says, "Zocha v'yoshi b'shiva shemala." They'll be zocha in the Olam Ha'emes, even though they may not be a Talmud Chacham themselves, they'll be able to sit with the Talmud Chacham because they supported Talmud Torah. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Ki b'tzela chachma b'tzela kesef." The ones who will get to sit in the tzela chachma, the ones that also gave their money, and therefore, if you go and support Torah, as Rashi says, the mechitzas hachokma yikonezeh shen heyu minichosev. If you go and support a Talmud Chacham, if you gave him from your wealth, so then you'll be zochet to sit with such a Talmud Chacham. Now, the simple understanding was that Todus was also a Talmud Chacham. The Ben Yodah says, no, he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, but he was taking care of the Talmud Chacham, so he's zochet to be with the Talmud Chacham. In any event, we see clearly that Todus Yishromi was a great person. Now we'll go to the next Mishnah. Again, continuing in this parak of Malkum Shenagu with another custom. So the Mishnah says, Malkum Shenagu la'adlikas aner b'leil Yom Kippur, in a place where the custom was to go and light candles on Yom Kippur night. Now, of course, you didn't light them on Yom Kippur night. You lit them before Yom Kippur started, but they bedavka would light them before Yom Kippur started so they would light in the house. So in places where they had that custom, gizuntayt, madlikin, you're allowed to go light them erev Yom Kippur, so there'll be light in the house on Yom Kippur night. But Makum Shenagu Shlo Ladlik, in a place where the custom was not to have lights in your house on Yom Kippur night, also Ein Madlikin. Then the custom was that you follow that custom and you don't light the candles. Now, the Gemara will tell us that both of them were doing it for the same reasoning, which is to make sure that a person didn't have relations with his wife on Yom Kippur night, when that's one of the five Inuyim. You're not allowed to have relations with your wife. And Rashi explains in the Rashi's in the Gemara, and he says that both of them were niskavim for the same thing, lahafrish atzmum mimishkov isha, to prevent the person from having relations with his wife, which you're not allowed to have on your kippur. And those that had the custom to light, they said this way, ain odem mashamish mitoso liorinair, because you're not supposed to have relations with the wife when it's light. So therefore, they bedavka put a light in the room, and therefore they wouldn't be able to have relations. And the others that had the minog to bedavka not light, so their reasoning was, if you have a light on, kishaner dolek roes ishto, a person's going to see his wife, umisavala, and he's going to be desirous of her, because he'll see how beautiful she is, and therefore want to have relations with her. So again, each of them were miskavi for the same reason, albeit totally different customs. One was to light, one was not to light, but both had the custom for the same reason of not having tashmish on the night of Yom Kippur. The Mishnah continues and says, however, but they would always make sure that there were lights lit before Yom Kippur in the shuls and in the Beis Medrash, because certainly you want to have light over there. And likewise, and likewise, in dark alleys where it would be dangerous if you didn't have lights, you have to make sure that people don't hurt themselves. And likewise, for a sick person who nebuch needs a light, there's also no concern that you'll have tashmish in that situation. So you certainly want to have lights in that place where the sick people are, so you'll be able to take care of them. Gemara starts off and says, Tano, we learned in the Braisa, Bein She'amu La'adlik, or Bein She'amu Shelo La'adlik, as I already explained, whether the custom was to have a light lit before Yom Kippur for a Yom Kippur night, or not to have a light lit that'll be light on Yom Kippur night, both of them did it, Shneim L'dover Echon Niskabdo. They both did it for the same Shemayim, the same reason, not to have relations between the husband and the wife. Likewise, Amar Yeshua, Yeshua said, Doresh Ravo, Ravo explained, the Amcha Kulam Tzadikim Leolam Yirshu Oretz V'Gomer, that the Jewish people are Tzadikim, they're righteous people, and Yezus Hashem, they'll inherit Eretz Yisrael forever. What does this mean? Bein Shamu Lahadlik, Bein Shamu Shalomlik, Lahadlik, Shneim Lunaskadu Elodov Rechud. Again, the same idea here is whatever their purpose was, it was L'Shem Shemayim. So therefore, even though the customs are totally opposite, but their purpose was the same, to prevent an Avera from occurring, so therefore, they'll be Zocha, Yezus Hashem, to the rewards of this Pasuk. Nadigmar says, I'm Yehuda Meshmuel, Ein Mevarchem Ala Ur, one doesn't make a bracha on light, Ela B'Motzei Shabbos, except on Motzei Shabbos, when we make Havdalah. Why? Hoel Uschilas Briyasohu, since that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Adam and Rishon how to make light. That was one of the things that was made on Motzei Shabbos, was light. He taught him to rub two sticks together and make a fire. So therefore, we remember that, we commemorate that by making Havdalah Al Hanir. That's why when you make Havdalah after Yontif, unless it's on Shabbos night, when Yontif is on a Tuesday night, so you make Havdalah, you don't make it on the Nair, because there is no reason to in that situation. Tosos, in the bottom, Tosos says, Hiksha, Rav Yosef has the following shayla. Why every time you cook supper, anytime you get heated up from a fire, why don't we make a bracha? Because you're not allowed to get benefit from this world without making a bracha. So why don't we make a bari miyareish every time we get benefit from fire? So Rabbi Yosef answers, the hani mili kishib gufo nana, when your body really gets direct benefit. Abol sharano, but just the fact that you're getting benefit, but your body's not getting direct benefit, well, then we don't make a bracha. And he says, V'afu gadu bracha or hashemesh b'chol yom, even though we make a bracha, yotzerah v'ori choshech, every single day, that's because hainu mishum shenischadish b'chol yom. That's because the sun is being renewed every day. It's not a natural event. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting into the Bria every day, the creation. He remakes the sun every day, so to say. That's what we're saying there, but it's not a birchas hanenin, it's a birchas shevach. In any event, so this is what Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, that we only make a bracha on the light, on the Ur, on Motzi Shabbos by Havdalah, because that commemorates when fire was created. And Amar Lehau Saba, it was a certain older Talmud Chacham, again, many times that's Eliyahu, or alternatively, Yitema Rabba Bar Barachana, or others say it was Rabba Barachana, who said, Yashikach, Yishar. Some have it with two yuds. It should be Yashikayach, basically. Yishar, correct. The Chedim Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan said the same thing. Rashi says some are encouraged the word Yishar over here, and they just say the Chedim Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said this as well without the word Yishar. In any event, in other words, he said you're right. Now, this was according to one opinion, it was Ha'usaba. According to the other opinion, was Rabba Bar Barchana who said this, that you don't make a bracha on fire except on Matzi Shabbos. Now, one time, Ula Havirochiv Chamra, Ula was riding on a donkey, the Ozil, Babi Shokel, the Ozil, Rabbi Abba Mimimne. And he was going, and to his right was Rabbi Abba, and the Rabba Barbar Chana Mismoli, and Rabba Barbar Chana was to his left. Now, Ula was the Rebbe, he was in the middle riding on the donkey, and you have Rabbi Abba on the right, and Rabba Barbar Chana on the left. That's setting up the story. And now, what happened? Amalei Rabbi Abba, who was on the right, he said to Ula, who's the Rebbe in the middle, Vadai Damrisu Mishmed Rav Yochanan. Is it true what I heard that was said in the name of Rav Yochanan by you, meaning you, Ula or Rabba Bar Barchana, that you said, Ein Mivarchan Alor Elab Motzi Shabbos, that you don't make a bracha except on Motzi Shabbos, because Hol Tchilas Briyasu, because that's when fire was created. Now, Ula did not make this statement in the name of Rav Yochanan. And therefore, when Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel said this, it should have been said over in their name and not in the name of Rav Yochanan. So he was upset, Ula was, that apparently Rabba Bar Barchana, who also heard this statement and was the one that was supposedly saying it, the Chain Omer Rav Yochanan, was saying in the name of Rav Yochanan, when in fact Rav Yochanan didn't make that statement. So therefore, Hadar Ula Chazabe Rabba Bar Barchana Bishus. Ula was upset that Rabba Barachana had taken this liberty of saying it over in the name of Rav Yochanan, v'chein amar Rav Yochanan, when in fact that wasn't true. Now, he gave him a look, but he didn't castigate him publicly. And therefore, he wanted to see what Rabba Barachana would say. Amar Lei, so Rabba Barachana realized that Ula was upset at him, realized what had happened, and he said, Ana lava ho amri. No, when I said v'chein amar Rav Yochanan, it wasn't on that. It was on the following, El Aha Amre. When I said it in the name of Rav Yochanan, I said it about the following. The Tani Tana Kamed Rav Yochanan, there once was one of the Amorayim who said the following Braisa over the name of Rav Yochanan. Again, the Tani Tana doesn't mean a Tana said it, it means an Amora said over the Braisa in front of Rav Yochanan. And what did he say? The following Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, he said in the Braisa that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, Yom HaKippurim Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, so then even after Mokum, Shamu Shalol L'Hadlik, even when it was a custom, as we brought that on our Mishnah, not to light a candle, Erev Yom Kippur, so you don't have lights in the house, and you may see your wife and desire her, so even in the place where they normally didn't light a light Erev Yom Kippur to have it on Yom Kippur night, he says when Yom Kippur and Shabbos fall out together, of course Yom Kippur can fall out on Shabbos, in that situation, Madlikim B'Pnei Kavod Shabbos, even in that situation when you normally wouldn't light on Erev Yom Kippur, here you light Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Shabbos, so you should have lights on in the house on Shabbos, the covered Shabbos. V'ani Rav Yochanan Basrei. And here's where I said about Rav Yochanan, I responded that Rav Yochanan said, when I taught this Braisa, that Rav Yochanan said, V'chacham Osri, but the Chacham say, no, you still don't light a candle then, because we're concerned that you'll have Tashmish at night. And therefore, Rabba Bar Barchana, he said this in the name of Rav Yochanan, was only in regards to this din. But I never said anything about Rav Yochanan in regards to the din of Havdalah, that we only make Havdalah on a nair on Motzei Shabbos. Ulu is now happy. Amalei Ada, he said, now, Ada is like a filler word. It means, Zos Tieh. Yeah, that should be Taka, Tehei. In other words, yeah, good. I accept what you're saying. Very good. You didn't say it over. They mistakenly thought you said something over. Very, very good. Zos Tehei, Ada Tehei. Fine. Gemara now says, Corollary of Yosef. Rav Yosef said about Ula and Raba the following. Mayim Amukim Eitzah Belevish. That the Eitzah runs in a person, in his heart, like very deep water. Now, what does this mean? We turn to the Amud Aleph. Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. First, we finish off the pasuk Vish Tfuna Yidlena. A person who's very smart, a Tfuna person, has Bina, he'll be able to withdraw that water. Now, what does that mean? Mayim Amukim Eitzah Belevish, the deep waters are like an Eitzah in a person. So Ze Ula. This was Ula who was upset at Rabba Bar Barchana, but he held in his tone in check. He just gave him a look, said, let's see what you have to say, without embarrassing him. And when it says Vish Tuni Yidlena, you see that Ze Rabba Bar Barchana was able to understand this, why he was upset, and able to pull out the answer, so to say, from the deep water. Nope, that explained the story. But we still have a problem. V'inu kiman savrua. Originally, we said that you're not allowed to make Havdalah except on Matzi Shabbos, on a fire, make a bar mi'oreish. So what was wrong with saying that in the name of Yochanan? Who disagrees with that? So the Gemara says, V'inu kiman savrua, who did they hold like? Ki ho de amar rabbi b'nyamim bar yefes, amar of Yochanan. They held like the following statement of Yochanan, that mevarchan al or, that you can make a bracha bar mi'oreish, Bein b'matzi Shabbos, bein b'matzi Yom Kippurim. That we don't only make it on Matzi Shabbos, and in fact, the halacha is that we do make a Bari Mariesh on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is on a Wednesday, so then we do make a Bari Mariesh on Matzi Yom Kippur, as opposed to Matzi Yontif, which we never do. So it's not only on Matzi Shabbos, but it's also on Matzi Yom Kippur. V'chein ha'madavar, and go and look and see what people do. In fact, we follow this. That's why they didn't like the statement, say we only make it on Matzi Shabbos. Mar says, wait a second, Meisvei, Ein Mavarchan al Or El Motzi Shabbos. We learned the Braisa that you only make a Bari Moriesh on Motzi Shabbos at Abdullah. Holy Skilas Mariyasuhu, because that's when fire was created. V'kivin Shiro Mavarch Miad. And as soon as you see a fire on Motzi Shabbos, you should make the Bracha right away, which is what we do on Tisha B'Av. Unfortunately, we can't make Kiddush because we're fasting. Mitzvah Hashem, next year the fast won't be there because there'll be a Yantif in the Beis HaMikdash HaBinu Yah. But in previous years, we couldn't go and when Matzi Shabbos was Tisha B'Av, we couldn't make the regular Abdullah, but we would make a Bar Mi'oreish and Shul alone by itself. So that's what this Tana says. As soon as you see a fire, even before Abdullah, go make a Bar Mi'oreish. V'kivon shiroa mevarach miyad, do it right away. And where Yehuda does our custom, which was on a normal Matzi Shabbos, where Yehuda Amar, no, sojourn ala kos. We would have to wait to make the Bar Mi'oreish when we make it on Abdullah ala kos. And on that, V'yomer Rav Yochanan, halach Rav Yehuda. Now here, Rav Yochanan says, halach is like Rav Yehuda, that you make it only Matzah Shabbos ala kos. So how can you tell me Rav Yochanan said that you go and make it on Matzah Yom Kippur as well? Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem. Lo kasha, there are two different types of Abdullah here. Kan b'ur sheshavas, kan b'ur hayotzim and eitzim and avodim. We only make it on Matzah Shabbos on any fire. It doesn't have to be a fire that was lit all Shabbos. It's because we're reminding ourselves of the creation of fire on Matzi Shabbos. So therefore, you can strike a match and light a candle on Matzi Shabbos and make Havdalah on that. But on Matzi Yom Kippur, you're bedafka making it not because it reminds us of the creation of fire, but you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on a Yontif, I'm allowed to cook. But Yom Kippur is not a Yontif. On Yom Kippur, there's an Isser of Bishul, and I didn't use this fire. And don't tell me the reason I didn't use it, because I didn't have a fire. I had this fire. This candle was lit all Yom Kippur. We had a flame that was there all Yom Kippur. If I wanted to, I could have lit. I had plenty of opportunity, but I did not because it's Isser. And that's what we recognize and acknowledge when we make Matzah Yom Kippur a bar in the RA. Shibadavka has to be on a Ner Sheshavas, a fire that was there available, but I didn't use it. Now, in one brisa, we have Toni Chodo. It says, Ora Yotzi Min Eitzim Min Avonim Min Varchan Olav, that you're allowed to go strike a match, take two sticks and rub them together, and make a bracha on it, Matzi Shabbos. And Toni Chodo, another brisa, says, Ein Varchan Olav, you're not allowed to go make it. So what's the reconciliation? So it's obviously the teretz that we just gave. Lokasha, it depends. When you're making a new fire, you're striking a match, come Matzi Shabbos. You don't have to take an Erev Shabbos every Matzi Shabbos. You just light a match. And you light the Havdalah candle, and you make a Bar Mi'oreish, because you're reminding yourselves of the creation of fire. However, what we're dealing here in this price, that says you can't strike a match, Kam Matzi Yom Kippurim, Halach L'maisa. If you don't have an Erev Shabbos, you don't make a Bar Mi'oreish on Matzah Yom Kippur, because it's supposed to be an Erev Shabbos. And you're recognizing that you could have used the fire Not that you didn't have a fire, you could have used the fire, but you didn't because it's asur. So therefore, on Matzah Yom HaKippurim, it has to be Ner Sheshavas and not a Ner that came from Eitzim and Avonim. With this, we conclude today's shir.